Item number eight, which is dicey just before lunch. Puget Sound clam and oyster seasons, a briefing and public hearing.
Going to talk about seafood before lunch. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. Director, and Mr. Deputy Director. As introduced this morning, I'm Chris Erdley, the new Puget Sound Shellfish Policy Lead. And I'm here to present on proposed 2017 recreational clam and oyster season changes. This is a product of our hardworking intertidal shellfish crew led by Camille Speck. The outline of today's presentation will flow starting with why the changes are needed. We'll touch upon our engagement with the public on our proposals. We'll introduce what the proposed season changes are. We'll discuss the minimum size change. There's one proposed minimum size change for clams, which will help to standardize size limits in all of Puget Sound. We'll take your questions and we'll additionally provide opportunity for public comment. So the need for changes, the first two items here are what we're referring to as resource-based needs. Firstly, changes in clam and oyster abundance, whether populations have increased or decreased on a given beach. Second one has to do with harvest management considerations, shortening seasons to keep within the state's share or lengthening seasons to increase opportunity. Also taking into consideration changes in projected effort and catch. A lot of this has to do with the distribution of extreme low tides and changes from year to year, and we're trying to move things around to accommodate that on the calendar. There are also public health considerations to proposing changes in oyster and clam seasons, related to water quality in particular. And lastly, we have a number of items that we're proposing changes on regarding housekeeping or language clarification reasons. We began engagement with the public in October of last year with posting on the department website an invitation to discuss. We also had an invitation to comment in May of this year on the department website. We reached out to recreational fishing contacts through an email listserv and reached approximately 1,700 contacts directly. We also posted on the rule change phone hotline. We'll take additional comment today, and since this is open, we have received one comment. We had a question from one stakeholder seeking clarification on the minimum size change, which we're going to present in a moment. So starting with our proposed increases in harvest seasons, there's a number of beaches here. Many of these are what we're calling resource-based. It's an extension of the season, as I mentioned, to provide additional opportunity because the resource can't sustain it, and we want to optimize the state share. There are a few beaches on which there was a population increase and a couple that are season length increase proposals based on negotiations with landowners and neighbors. We have a much shorter list of proposed decreases in season length. Two of the three of these are related to trying to manage pressure on the beaches to stay within state share and for the good of the population. We've received input on some of these changes from our enforcement folks as well that have eyes out there. And on one beach, there's been a reduction in shellfish biomass, and we're proposing to adjust the season accordingly. Secondly, we have public health considerations in proposing season changes. Due to changes in the classification of beaches by Department of Health. We have a number of beaches that are being proposed for permanent closure. It's worth noting that Department of Health has already classified these beaches as closed to harvest, and we're seeking to update our code to reflect that as well. We have a couple of instances where we've received communication from state parks or county health to do what we can to clarify language about harvest opportunity in closed areas. For example, a beach that's been closed for clams, it doesn't specifically say it's closed for oysters, and we're seeking to add that language for clarification purposes. These are the beaches. I'd also like to point out that there are some areas that are receiving an upgrade from Department of Health, and in that area we'll add two beaches for a proposed year-round season, and so there's some good news there as well. We also have a list of beaches that we're proposing changes on for code language clarification. Many of these are simply name changes, seeking to align the names of the beaches in the code to match what is being used by Department of Health, counties, and of course the stakeholders themselves. For example, we have one beach that we've been referring to as Semiahmoo. The stakeholders they call it Blaine Marine Park, and so we're seeking to align that for clarification purposes. There's a number of those. Lastly, as I mentioned, we have one beach in Puget Sound that has a unique minimum size limit. This is the Quilcene Bay Tidelands. In recent years, it's been managed for a minimum size of an inch and a quarter due to what's believed to be a slower growth in this region. Through conversations with co-managers and years of monitoring, we've concluded that there's no longer a need for this unique minimum size limit. There's been some changes to growing conditions here, and we're seeking to increase the minimum size limit to align with what we have in place for everywhere else in Puget Sound. And this would also help to streamline things for enforcement as well as the stakeholders. Also, the tribes have already implemented this as well. So hopefully I didn't run through that too quickly, but I'm happy to take any questions you may have to expand upon anything.
Questions? I have just one. The sheet, the attachment C, indicates several beaches in areas that are closed for pollution.
Yes.
Is that a situation that can be addressed, or is this, it's disappointing to see that, of course, but...
Yes, yeah, so when Department of Health changes a classification for a beach from approved to conditionally approved, or from either approved or conditionally approved to prohibited, meaning closed, it triggers the formation of a shellfish protection district, and they get together to try and figure out ways they can improve the situation. They may investigate septic failures. They may look at sources of pollution from marine water. They may look at whether or not there are seal haulouts nearby that are contributing to the failing readings that they're receiving. And so in many cases, most cases, as long as it's related to water quality, which I believe all of these are, Department of Health does get together with the counties and other stakeholders to try to find some redress on these issues. And as a matter of fact, the two beaches on that table, let's see here, North Fort Lewis and South Gordon Point, those are recent upgrades, and so that's the kind of outcome that one would hope for as a result of those actions. Those ones in particular may have been closed for pollution reasons that have been cleaned up, or they may have been unclassified.
I see. These indicate an improving condition?
Yes.
Okay.
Are they looking at non-point as well as point sources?
They do, yeah. They try to take a look at whether it's a point and non-point, and then developing their strategy to approach the source. Obviously, it's a lot easier to deal with a point source, but there are many places where it's a bit more challenging, for sure.
You mentioned there was a stakeholder comment on the size.
Yes.
For, against?
It was neutral. I believe my understanding is that the individual called up and had been harvesting on the particular tideland of interest for a long time, and had heard or understood that the proposed minimum size change was to increase over what the rest of Puget Sound was using, and was seeking an explanation as to why. And our folks just explained that, in fact,
okay,
it's to align it with the rest of the Puget Sound.
Making it difficult for me not to think of Anne Fry.
Yeah.
Some of our state's bounty. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I do.
Yes, sir.
What are they holding there?
That is Manila clam seed. So we have an enhancement program that goes out and seeds a number of beaches with baby oysters and clams, and this is what the Manila clams look like when they come out of the box and are being prepared to being spread on the beach. These are raised in a hatchery setting and
private, public, what?
Private, yeah. So the state used to have a hatchery, and a lot of production has now been shifted to the private sector. There's a number in Puget Sound that are producing large quantities of seed shellfish.
You can buy some, Jay.
Well, that's what I gotta say. Pretty thin in our part of the world, so that's and there's no public input on this.
Okay.
You had a question. You're the public.
Chair, this is a public hearing for this item, so if there's no public ready to testify, then we can move on. But this is the opportunity for hearing today.
Right. Okay. I just said there's nobody's signed up to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, everyone, for your time.